Good afternoon, Cell Group, and welcome back to our discussion on last Sunday's Gospel, which was John 3, 14 to 21. And this extract from John's Gospel contains probably the most important text in the whole Bible, I would say. And that is the verse 16. God loved the world so much that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not be lost, but may have eternal life. We'll come back to that verse after just a wee bit of context. This extract is from Jesus' meeting with Nicodemus, who was a Pharisee, and the meeting is at night. And for John, this has huge symbolism. You remember his gospel started off with Jesus being the light of the world, a light that shines in the darkness, a light that darkness could not overpower. So here we have a man of questioning faith, curious about Jesus. He's a Pharisee. He's steeped in the whole tradition of Abraham and all the observances of the Jewish law. Bishop Robert Barron, describing this text, refers to something that's available online and on television, The Chosen. I haven't seen this myself, but he thought that this dramatization of this meeting was very, very good, that Nicodemus comes and they have this conversation on the roof of the house where Jesus was staying at night. So it's a big, deep conversation. So it starts off in our extract with Jesus said to Nicodemus, "The Son of Man must be lifted up." Now, we'll go no further than that. Lifted up could have two meanings. It means as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, an image of the serpent that bit the people as they were going through the promised land because of their rebellion. That Jesus was going to be lifted up on the cross is one meaning, physical lifting up. There's also the word implies lifted up in the resurrection. So the risen Lord. And we are familiar with that image of the risen Lord with the coloured rays of grace coming from his hands, the divine mercy image. And that's a good image to have in our heads as we look at that. But it's also got the two meanings, lifted up on the cross, an image that we're all very, very familiar with, and this image of the resurrection, whatever one you choose. Lifted up so that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. Believe would be not just believe, like you'd make an assent to a creed or a teaching, a dogma, but it's trust. And that phrase that is put on the divine mercy image, "My Jesus, I trust in you," that'd be the meaning of believe. You trust in this image of Jesus, you trust in his love, you trust in his forgiveness. So anyone who believes and trusts will have eternal life in him. The fullness of life, authentic life from Christ and in Christ. A really good life, good in every sense. A sense of fullness about it. The word shalom would have that meaning. Rich, full. And that's something that people hunger for in terms of evangelization. Everybody is looking for this happiness, this sense of fullness. And they always, well not always, but mostly end up looking in the wrong places. So we have a great treasure here in Christ, in this word. Anyone who believes, who trusts this love of Christ, will have an authentic life. Now here's the big verse. Yes, God loved the world so much that he gave his only Son. That word "gave" would be playing on what we heard last week about Abraham and Isaac. God was saying had Abraham the heart to give up his son, and he showed that he had He took out the knife. He was about to kill him, make a sacrifice out of him. And God, the angel, held his hand and indicated a ram held in the bushes, and he sacrificed it instead. But his only son, Isaac, was going to be sacrificed. But God has the heart to give up his son, to sacrifice his son. He gave his son for us, and that's out of love for us. So that everyone who believes in him, that believe again, that trust in him, trusting in this love, may not be lost, but may have eternal life, authentic life. So it's a great verse. That's the one you would see held up at football matches. Apparently it started in America, and then some GAA fan, and people thought when he held it up, every time a goal was scored at that end, he held up this sign, and somebody thought that John had scored 3 goals and 16 points. Anyway, going on ahead to verse 17 and follows, for God sent his son into the world, not to condemn the world, but so that through him the world might be saved. So this is underlining what was said before. This is the whole purpose of Christ. And imagine Nicodemus hearing this as a Pharisee, that the world wasn't to be condemned. And he might have been a very condemning kind of Pharisee. He would certainly have known condemning Pharisees, turning up their noses at failures and sinners of all shapes and sizes. But God wasn't sent to condemn the world, but so that through him the world might be saved. All the people would be saved. No one who believes in him will be condemned, but whoever refuses to believe is condemned already, because he has refused to believe in the name of God's only Son. Scholars would see this relating back to John's own community, that there were people in it, you would maybe call them backsliders, or for various reasons, who had been part of the faithful group, who had a real good acceptance of Jesus and his love for us, but then for various reasons turned their back on the authoritative teacher at the time, or turned their back on the community, left. So he's apparently this is written in his first letter. He's complaining about people who leave and think they know better. So on these grounds, the sentence pronounced that though light has come into the world, many have shown they prefer darkness to the light because their deeds were evil. So they're walking away from the light. They're leaving the source of light. They're leaving the light of Christ. Very, very serious, and has very, very serious consequences. As opposed to the final verse of the extract, but the man who lives by the truth comes out into the light so that it may be plainly seen that what he does is done in God. This is the man who has the fullness of life. So some issues for consideration. Just think about the times you've been a source of life for others, and you've known that this being a source costs you something. True life givers know that they need the generosity of being lifted up by their lives so that others may have life. You do get lifted up. You get the grace to give, but it does cost you. So just remember when you have had the generosity to give support to other people, and when you've experienced that kind of life, that grace to continue. So another thing you could talk about would be, we receive life from God when our faith enables us to trust in God's love for us, and we give life to another when the love between us is trustworthy. Recall memories of that kind of trustworthy love. For whom have you been able to be a Jesus person and give a love that another could trust? And who has shown you that kind of love and been for you a sacrament of God's love? So thank you very much for your time spent on God's word and together. And we'll finish with this prayer. O God, rich in mercy, you so loved the world that when you were dead in our sins, when we were dead in our sins, you sent your only Son for our deliverance. Lifted up from the earth, he is light and life. Exalted upon the cross, he is truth and salvation. Raise us up with Christ and make us rich in good works, so that we may walk as children of light towards the Paschal Feast of Heaven. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. And God bless you, and God bless your work together.